It's time for Cutting Edge Consciousness with Freeman Michaels and Barnett Bain. Thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host,
Barnett Bain. How are you, Freeman?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing really well. It was a, it's been a great week.
It has.
Been a lot going on this week, huh?
It's been a lot going on for me. It's been a bit bumpy for me, but sometimes bumpy is okay. There's something that comes at the end of bumpy that I'm learned to be grateful for.
Yeah, the flats.
Things even out for a minute or two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a little deeper than that. It's my relationship with disappointment, my relationship with, I guess it's my relationship with expectation. You know, on one side is expectation, on the other side is a sort of disappointment. But there's a way in which, as I move through these pieces, there's an acceptance. And I, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. Really beautiful conversation, by the way. I've had the opportunity to go back and listen and watch a couple times, and a kind of acceptance, which I think is a bit of seasoning, and it comes when we face a lot of disappointments coming at the same time, you know, like sort of sequentially, like bang, 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 bang. And it's, at least in my experience, there's a calm after all that, after sort of weathering it and handling it, that I've learned to be grateful for. And there's a level of resolve to what, there's a clarification of who I am and sort of what I stand for. There's a beautiful piece from that poem, The Invitation by Orion Mountain Dreamer. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
And she talks about, you know, sort of having gone through a night of turmoil and challenge and then getting up the next day to do what needs to be done for the children.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of like I think of my creative outlets and the things that I feel called to do almost like my children. And in spite of all the setbacks and the ways that I feel challenged, there are still these things that are what my life is about that I have to get up and go back to work to do them because it's what I feel compelled to do in my life. And so there's something about having weathered all the storm and the sort of little, you know, phoenix, as it were, that rises out of the ashes is this clarity of, no, this is what I'm meant to do, you know, like having kids.
Well, you find what you're meant to do if you're very lucky, if you're very focused, if you're very committed, if you're respectful of self, of others. We find eventually what we are passionate about doing, and then I think the opportunity is to do it with excellence.
Yeah.
To do it with excellence.
You know, and there's a note in it about the quality of the experience that hooks us. You know, radio, for example, and just doing the show. Our listening audience doesn't need to know the details, but suffice to say that there's been bumps along the way in terms of just keeping everything going, and yet we love what we do. And so I do it. And how it's all going to work out, I'm not always sure. So there's a lot of those nights of you know, sort of feeling battered and bruised, and yet knowing that there's something that I do in the world, there's an expression of me that I'm committed to.
Committed to, and you do well.
Yes, exactly. They're part and parcel.
Something you do well, and something that both feeds you, feeds us,
yeah,
in every way, and feeds others. Gives others. If it doesn't have a give, if it's only about the get, you're not firing on all eight cylinders.
And look, a big part of this is being able to go with the flow, allowing for these waves, if you will, to come in and crash, and knowing that there's another wave behind it or another wave coming at me from a different direction. And there's an agility, sort of an emotional agility, an ability to sort of, you know, hang in there. And to have some level of foresight and a sense of knowing how the waves go. Even when they're really rocky, there's a sense that a part of me knows how to handle this.
How to handle it, how to have a sense of vision, sense of purpose, and a sense of mastery. There comes a point in which you have a sense of mastery.
Just so happens we might know someone who can.
Yeah, we may have someone we can call on, refer to for a little bit of a little heads up on what it is to have both mastery and passion and vision, and to learn how to kind of go with the flow with all of that. So we have with us a little left and right of what our listeners generally expect on this show. For us, it's right down the middle, folks.
Right down the middle. We assure you, it is
right down the middle of what we're all about here. Most of you know that I have another life in the film business, and I am not usually starstruck, but I am today. Because I am a would-be. I lie awake at night dreaming if only I could ride big waves. My idea of a big wave is shoulder high.
Well, and you happen to lie awake at night listening to big waves lapping up on
the
beach.
I listen to big waves day and night, and I'm constantly looking at what's going on outside my window. But we have today... someone who does make me starstruck. Garrett McNamara is with us. Garrett is arguably the most committed ocean explorer in the world. Okay, maybe we're going to get calls from to dispute that. If he's not the, then he's tied. And I don't know who is the runner-up. But he's an extreme waterman and ocean explorer, the first and only human to ride tidal waves created from a 300-foot-tall calving glacier. He's a pioneer of stand-up paddle boarding, my poison of choice these days. He was recently inducted into the Guinness Hall of Records for surfing the highest wave by any surfer in the world off the coast of Portugal in November of last year.
75 feet, right?
Something like that. I mean, I saw a video of it, and that'll keep you awake at night. Man, so but you know, Garrett gives back in a big way. He is active with Surfers Healing, a foundation that focuses on providing therapy to autistic children, teaching them how to surf and how to stand up paddle. So we are really proud to have you on the show with us today, and welcome to Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Wow. You guys are amazing. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I got on the phone with you guys. And after hearing what you're all about, and I'm just so honored and in awe just to be able to speak with you guys. And the introduction, it just blew me away. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for joining us.
We're really thrilled you're with us. I mean, there's so much that we want to unbundle with you, and I'll throw out a few and see what you grab at whatever beckons to you. There is courage in the face of real fear. Mm. There is the heart that it takes to go beyond our fears, to be aware of them, and yet to go there anyway, out of a sense of mastery and confidence, and you know, that such a refinement. And I want to get your input on that. I mean, all of that is kind of mixed in a stew with passion and with compassion and with wisdom and with understanding. And what you do is you put that alchemy all together, and you ride waves. You dance with the mother.
Ocean.
Yeah, it is all about dancing with Mother Nature and complimenting her, and never ever challenging or conquering. It being one, being in tune with what's going on, being comfortable. I don't want to say ever mastering, just working to do it well. And you know, more than the waves, life is more of a challenge, just dealing with everyday situations. Mm. And and dealing with everything that comes along with life. I mean, I feel much more comfortable in the ocean, and I feel like I belong, and I very rarely have to face fear. And when you're on land, you have all these different people coming at you from all these different angles and all these different decisions you have to make. And I really like what you guys were saying about, you know, we are doing what every day we just have to be in the moment. You have to be concentrating and focusing on what you're doing at that moment. If you're thinking about the past or you're thinking about the future, you're really not living. Mm. You're not living now. And it's, we've been working really hard to just stay in the moment. And it's the same thing in the water and the same thing on the land and the same thing in everything you do in life. You just need to really stay focused on what you're doing at that moment.
Well, and for you, this is not this is no little metaphor. If you are not paying attention, you'll lose your life. I mean, there's a very real consequence for, you know, you skip off into futurizing or even tracking too far back, and the next wave comes and you're toast.
Yep. It could be your last, you know, if you're not in the moment, it could be your last ride. And the same thing is going driving down the freeway in L.A. If you're not, if you're on the phone talking about something or you're thinking about something in the past, daydreaming, you could end up, you know, boom, you crash, and it was just a matter of not being in the moment.
Well, and I'll take that metaphor for and actually play it even slightly different. I think that, you know, I think back at periods of my life where I wasn't paying attention for a week or a month or a year, and, you know, the sense that it's just gone. Like, it's time when...
It's lost.
It's lost. I think there's a danger in distraction. So one of the things that your vocation, I don't know if that's the right word, but that's the word that comes to mind.
Passion.
Passion. Brings out is a all-in, committed, a willingness to be comfortable with a fair amount of uncertainty and discomfort in service to something. So that's the piece I want to talk about. You know, because helping the kids and what other expressions, I mean, surfing in and of itself is magnificent and beautiful and artistic, but it extends out beyond that. There's a bigger analogy. It spills into other areas. That's the part that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I really honestly believe that we all should be doing what we love to do. We all can do what we love to do, but we all really need to figure out what it is we love and then write it down. Write down what you love. Write down your goal, doing what you love to do for the rest of your life. And then you create your map. You write down what you have to do to do that. And it, I mean, at 35, I was 33, I was kind of gave up my career, opened a store. And then after 2 years of working in there at 35, I said, I want to give surfing another shot. This isn't me. I'm not having fun working in the store. I owned it. I managed it, ran it. It's a lot of work, and it wasn't fun, and it wasn't my passion.
Hmm.
So I wrote down, I want to keep surfing, and I wrote down how to do that. I wrote, win two contests, the Eddie iCal Quicksilver and the Jaws Tow-In. And then I wrote, okay, how do I do that? Okay, I wrote my program, my diet, my training, my, you know, how to focus, everything I needed to, that I felt I needed to do to accomplish that. And it ended up, both of the contests fell on the same day, one in Maui and one on Oahu. And I was so torn. I didn't know what to do. My goal in life was to win the Eddie at that point, but I had been training for the Jaws and the Eddie, and it was really tough. I was an alternate in the Eddie, and I ended up going to Jaws, and somehow, by the grace of God, we ended up winning, and that just started my career back. And from that day forward, I've just surfed, and it's just, everybody can. All the even adults, it's never too late. I was 35 when I decided to go after my passion again, and I don't know. I'm just living proof that anybody can. I just really, really honestly believe that we all should find our passion, do everything in our power to do our passion, whatever we're passionate about for the rest of our life. And it is possible. You can live your dreams.
Beautiful.
There's another piece that you bring up that's that we love hearing on this show. Your training is equally about having a sense of vision and your intention, and you have a practice of goal setting and writing these things down and living into them as an adjunct to your training, not just to your physical workout. Is that right?
Yes. If you got to put pen to paper, it just really, once pen hits paper, then it's almost like it's reality in a sense. If it's just in your mind, it just doesn't seem to, it's a lot more difficult, a lot more work, and a lot of times doesn't seem to work. But once you put pen to paper, you visualize it, then you put it down, and then you make it happen. You create your map. It's just a big difference.
Yeah, it's a contract. You've written a contract. Listen, we need to take a quick break. And though when we come back, we want to bring up something, and Barnett and I have talked about this a lot. We call it for the sake of, and it's a sense of the things that we're doing aligning with this vision. So we want to talk more about that, but we have to pay some bills. So stay with us because we'll be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
This is Barnett Bain here with Freeman Michaels. We're back on Cutting Edge Consciousness with our guest, Garrett McNamara, Waterman, and what else were you going to add there, Garrett?
I was just wondering if you guys have read the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success.
Deepak, we sure have read that, yeah. Yeah, Deepak's a friend of the show.
That's what we, wake up almost every morning and turn to one of those pages and just digest it and focus on, being a better person, being just doing the right things and doing it for the right reasons. And that book really just hits home. I mean, it's almost like you just open up any page and it's the right page.
It is. It's funny how that kind of works out, isn't it? I mean, no matter what's going on in your life, you crack that book open and it speaks to where you're at.
And it really helps you understand and appreciate and just really know that everything at this moment is right. And you don't struggle with anything that's going on. Just know if it's a tough situation, know that you're going to learn from it. If it's somebody really that you don't want to deal with, know that he's going to be your teacher some way or another.
Which is a perfect way to line up this for the sake of peace, because what you're speaking to, there's a way where when we have a sense of purpose and vision, it becomes a context for everything that before might be more of a distraction. In other words, let's say something challenging occurs in my life, but I have somewhere I've got to go. Well, I'm very quick and efficient at cleaning it up when there's somewhere I've got to go. Like when you're trying to get somewhere and something comes along, you're like, wow, I've got to get there. So I need to clean this up in a way that moves me as quickly as possible to where I got to go. And that's what a vision and this sense of purpose does. That's what this map helps provide. It's when one has that bigger for the sake of, it sort of aligns my choices. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I really do. And I really like what you guys were saying about doing it for the right reasons and not to get back. And you do good comes. You do bad, bad'll come. But you don't do good to want good to come. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You don't expect anything in return.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this place you're coming from is wanting to be in the flow, wanting to love, wanting to grow, wanting to be in the flow. And you have these incredible resources like Deepak's book. You crack it open, and so do I. So does Freeman. We absolutely resonate with this. You crack it open. It always seems to speak, to give back. In help and aid and vision and support for whatever is come up, for whatever is on our minds. And the intention is to get into the flow, to be part of nature, not separate from it, to be in the flow with it and to unfold our gifts, to bring our gifts, our strengths, our talents with it in whatever way is the fit. And yours happens to be one of the more dramatic, one of the more dramatic contributions, and it inspires, and it'll inspire a lot of our listeners to know that these values are being modeled by you.
Yes, sharing and experiencing. That's what it's all about. And the one word that really hit home there was growing. Mm. All of us, our society, most of us, once we get to a certain age, we're kind of really set in our ways, and we do what we do, and we know what we're doing, and we're right, and that's when you don't grow anymore, and that's when you don't evolve and don't learn and aren't a part of life anymore. You're just stuck, and we really all need to accept that we can grow and we can learn, and there's so much more out there than what we already know and the way that we are. There's so much more for us.
Well, that's a risk. It's a big risk. I mean, the truth is that the patterns that we fall into are the best way we've known to make sense of our world, to keep us safe. And so the idea...
In the past.
But this is the challenge, Barnett. It's like, the whole idea of I'm willing to risk knowing in service to not knowing, in service to possibilities that I can't imagine when I'm crunching everything down to this, very small, sort of sense of self that I've manufactured over the course of however many decades. And so this idea of opening up and allowing a newness to every moment, to every day, look, there's an element of risk involved in that.
Yeah. And any of you always just know that you're doing the right thing as well. You just have to be right with whatever's happening, no matter how bad it seems. So what you really, you can learn more. And I don't know. You guys stumped me for a second here. I'm lost for words.
Well, listen, here's the deal. What we love about you is you are living your life large. You're living your life loud. I'd say you're loving your life, and you're living love large, and you're living love loud. And it's beautiful, and you're doing it in a way that models for people what the possibilities are at any age to live their dreams when you're in the flow. And it is a spiritual, not a religious, nothing against religion. We're all for whatever gets people more hope and more possibility in their hearts. But you're coming at it from a exploration of growing spiritually and expressing it in what you do in the world, and it gets a lot of people very, very excited, particularly to know how it is you're doing it and where you get the resources to be who you are being.
Can I add something to that too? One of the things I think is important, which we haven't really talked about, I mean, we have prior to you coming on the show, is the frame of reference that surfing gives you. We talked about this, we alluded to this in the very beginning. We're talking about, riding the waves and having a sense of being able to trust and know and obviously there's some craft involved, but beyond the craft, there's a sense of commitment and a sense of courage.
Drop into a 72-foot face, and that's your commitment.
That's commitment. You better be all in, or you're in big trouble.
What it is? It is a lot of bleeding with your heart, because your heart knows what's right. Your brain will analyze and go all these different directions.
That's it.
But if you feel good in your heart when you make a decision, your heart feels good, then it's a good decision.
But see, that's such a great compass. So what you were saying when you were saying about being in the store and going, okay, this is kind of what I thought I was supposed to do, and there's all these voices that are saying you can't at 35 go back to surfing or whatever it is, that you were hearing from. But the part of you that learned, let's say, from the ocean and from the experience of surfing, was reliable.
Yeah, you learned to trust it.
Yeah, and that metaphor. People always say, "Yeah, you can live your dreams. You can do whatever you want." And you hear that your whole life, and it's almost just like a fairy tale, or like it's not for real. But it is possible. I mean, that's what the message I really want to get out, that it's never too late. And everybody can still live their dreams. They just really have to create that roadmap. I mean, if you guys are talking about fear and these giant waves I got to face, and ever since we did that mission in Alaska with the glaciers, it was so beyond and so horrifying that the ocean is just like normal. It's not scary for me. I mean, I can't remember the last time I got a real rush from the ocean. And So that's why I always searched for the rush. I was always searching for the rush, and, you know, I didn't find the seven spiritual laws of success yet, and I didn't find to dig deep into what really matters and what I'm all about and why. And after digging deep, and now it's time to just really let the world know, let everybody know that it is possible, and we can live our dreams, we can do what we're passionate about. That is really what I'm all about now, is just spreading that message. That's what and that's when you guys were introducing, we're just talking about what you guys are about. And then I couldn't believe what you guys were saying.
Well, we love that. We love that. Thank you. You know, what I hear in between all of the words and underneath everything that you're saying is this heart. And my takeaway from what you're talking about and books like Seven Spiritual Laws is, as you said before, our brain can only handle what it pulls out of our memory and out of our experience. It's not firing on enough cylinders to meet the challenges of real growth. And for that, you have to learn to develop a relationship, a trusting, close, real tender relationship with your heart. And because, as you said before, the heart knows. It's a balancing act. It's a dance between the head and the heart. But in this case, the heart leads.
And that's when everything is just perfect and beautiful. And because we all know what's right and wrong. And if the heart feeling good, then it's good.
You know, though, back to what you were saying about we've all heard that you should do what you love to do. You know, it's one thing to hear it. And by the way, I'm not sure, you know, you're saying like everybody is saying that. The truth is not enough people are saying that. But that said, we have all heard it. But it's one thing to hear it and quite another thing to commit to it. It is one thing to hear
and to understand there are practices that support you in committing to it. As Garrett says, you commit to your goals. You write them down. They become the soft shoulder on either side of the road so that when you hit the dirt patch, you know, whoa, I better get onto the pavement and go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we all get suppressed. We all get told or somehow locked into what we have to do or what we got to do because of this situation or this circumstance or this or that, whatever it is. There's a million different reasons, we don't have to. We got to do what we need to do to get where we want to be, not where we have to be. And that roadmap, that little list that you write is the way. The list is the way. Writing it down is the way.
The contract.
The roadmap. Yeah. The roadmap. Yeah. We need roadmaps. Yeah. And they become heart maps because you set out an intention and your heart finds a way to make it, to bring it. I want to bring bend it into another direction just for a second. You do this great work with autistic kids. And I would love you to just... share a little bit with our listeners about what's going on there.
Okay. Once your child is diagnosed with autism as a parent, it's just devastating. I mean, it's like the whole world comes crashing down and all your hopes and dreams seem to like slip away. Their graduation, their wedding, their, you know, everything. Just you don't know if any of it's ever going to happen. And all of a sudden you have this child that might be with you for the rest of your life, and there's really nowhere for you to take them. You're not really accepted anywhere. You go to a party with a bunch of family and friends, and it's tough, and it's not like they're welcoming you with open arms all the time. With Izzy Paskowitz and Surfers Healing, mm-hmm. Izzy has a child that's diagnosed with autism at 3 years old, and you know, it was devastating for him, but the kid wasn't really comfortable anywhere. And he finally took him into the ocean, took him surfing. And all of a sudden, it just changed him, and he calmed down. And we take, you know, the family, we invite them to the beach for the day with their child. It's their day. The family, the parents, and their child. They come down. They give their kid to us. We take them surfing. Some of them have never spoken. Some of them won't show eye contact. Some of them won't smile, show emotion. And all of a sudden, you know, once in a while, we got to wrestle them. We got to wrestle them to get them on the board. It's like jiu-jitsu, and it's a little violent. And it's like, whoa, the first time I saw that, I was doing, like, what are you doing? And then I've done it for a few years, and it's just what we have to do. We get them on the board. We get them out there, and all of a sudden, something changes. I mean, all their senses are firing. All sensory overload. That's what autism is. And then all of a sudden, they're confined to the surfboard. That's their parameter. That's all they have. And the ocean and the smells. And the kids will come in saying hi or I love you, mommy. Because they'll come in smiling. They'll start doing eye contact with you. I mean, they do things that they've never done. And it's so emotional, it's so overwhelming for us and the parents. And it's, half the time we all end up crying, and it's a good cry, but it's also, I feel for the parents, and it's an emotional overload. It actually recharges me. Every time I do it, I get recharged to go back into the world and go chase some big waves or deal with whatever I have to deal with. But it's almost selfish for us as teachers or surfers to teach the kids out, because we get so much out of it. But it is priceless to see the parents watch their child surf for the first time, or to actually be the one taking their child surfing. And it's amazing. And Izzy passed away some surfer ceiling. His child now is 6'4", about 300 pounds, severely autistic. And you get that boy on the beach, and he goes straight for the water. You don't want to be in his way. And once he gets in the water, he is just loving life.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. What an incredible resource. And we're going to give folks, before we let you go, the information so they can tap into this.
Information for Surfers Healing, as well as information on where people, folks, can find out more about what you're up to and what's up for you next.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
So that'll be on our website. We'll put that on. And we are so thrilled that you took the time today to spend it with us. And we look forward to next time you're in Ventura, having you come on in and hang with us in studio.
You know, we also, if you have another minute, we have this new sunscreen we're using called Raw Elements, and it's all natural, which is, the chemicals that we put into our body is what you put on your body goes in your body. We have this new sunscreen called Raw Elements that's all natural, chemical-free, and it's reef-safe. You put it on your body, it goes in the water, goes to the reef, goes to the fish. It's just really, I don't know, it's a part of my giving back to the environment, and
fantastic.
That's why I stand behind this company as well.
Fantastic. So we can get information on your website about Raw Elements?
Yes, you can. It's rawelements.com as well.
Raw Elements. Beautiful. Excellent. So we're so thrilled. We'll put that out as well, and thanks for coming on. And for those of you listening, stay tuned, because we'll be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And we're back on Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with Barnett Bain. Wow. You know, the thing that is amazing to me is, with the autistic kids, it's, this is the words we've been using so often, is it's a different wavelength. It's a different frequency. That the world, as it currently exists, this system overload, it doesn't make sense to these kids coming from where they are neurologically and so forth, but the water does. It's a different operating system. It's a different frequency. It's a different, source of intelligence and information. That's at least my interpretation.
For years, when Sophie, when my daughter was growing up, we were active in something called the Malibu Board Riders Club. She surfed like local contests, and so we would do every year there was an event still going, and they would surf with kids from the Ronald McDonald's houses.
Sure.
And guys like Garrett and would come in and they would take these kids out surfing. And I remember we volunteered there for years and years, and I remember standing on the beach watching this one little boy who probably was about 10 or 11 years old. And he was in the, he had a helmet on and he had a life preserver on, and I don't know who was surf, who was, he had him on a surfboard, had him hoisted from the, held by the back of his life preserver, like dangling. And the kid was crying and anxious and nervous, and then they paddled into a wave and popped up, and this surfer like just hoisted him with one arm to his feet, and I could see from the beach what happened. His he just shifted. He felt the rush of energy, and I have never to this day experienced an image of such transcendent joy. He just, this huge smile, and then the laughter, the peals of laughter you could hear right to the beach, and then his, he walked, he ran to the nose of the board, and he was leaning over and held back by with his arms out, to the air. It was so beautiful, so beautiful. When they got into the shore, he was screaming with joy to go back, to go again, and to go again. But what an image! So there is something that happens when you are in the elements. In your body, your heart.
In the moment.
In the moment. But that is such a physical body sensation.
Yeah. And there's such a part of trust that, look, so the ocean has always scared me. I think I've brought this up to you that I, you know, we've talked about me learning to surf and whatnot. But there are other things similar to surfing, other things that I've done in my life where, you know, I've had that experience of fear and I've moved through it. And I've realized I can trust myself. It's sort of how we started this show. This was a week when there was a lot of
movement, uncertainty,
a lot of it,
turmoil,
and pushback. And I was hearing from a lot of aspects, but that I have, and you know, I'm working on this. I'm building a body that I can trust. I'm building a consciousness that's expanded enough where I can handle all of this. And this idea that, getting to the place of, I can trust this. I can trust me. I think that's a very powerful piece, as well as the whole commitment and the perspective. I mean, it's been such a powerful analogy for us from the start of the show, Barnett. Like week one, we talked about how the ocean and surfing was an analogy for, you know, the cutting edge of consciousness, how to allow for uncertainty and discomfort and not be overcome by it, and actually learn to, and I don't know if the word is enjoy, but you know, just it work with it. And the truth is, you pop up, you pop out, and there's this exhilaration, like, whoa. He was saying about the mission to Alaska. They called it a mission, by the way, which I think is fantastic. And how that changed everything. It changed his entire perspective. Now, the waves are all different in the context of that bigger wave. You know, we talked last show about biggering that the for the sake of is a biggering process. Right, this for the sake of it's bickering. That's it.
Well, we add on more capacity. We grow a self. We grow into a bigger sense of ourselves, a bigger sense of vision and possibilities. We become bigger,
and then we write it down,
And it changes what matters to us.
Exactly.
So this language that you're using, for the sake of. I do things for the sake of another person, or for the sake of my own growth, or for whatever, however you're using that language. I think of it as being connected and committed to what matters to
That's
me.
It.
And what matters to me changes and grows and shifts. And the more that I grow and explore and have achievements and successes, and successes could mean anything. It just means that I successfully move into new territory or have a new kind of experience and that I'm present with it. And the more that I'm able to do that, it shifts what matters to me. It shifts what the stakes are, the reasons why. So one thing many things that Garrett said, but one thing particularly that he said that resonated very deeply with me is that he, in addition to his physical training, he has a metaphysical training. He is very clear about writing down his goals and his intentions. Not sufficient, he said, to be aware of them, but important to ritualize them, to honor them. We honor things to the degree that we are willing to change our habits.
And write them down.
As a result of them. So to write them down, that is an honoring commitment. It is a serialized set of messages to various aspects of the self-conscious, subconscious, all kinds of commitment, all kinds of visioning, and suddenly those intentions, that ritual, is able to hold the boundaries.
Yes, that's it.
For a whole new range of possibilities.
That's right.
Of adventure and of love and exploration and growth.
And it's a new level of commitment. Look, it's one thing to have a glimpse of something. Like, we've all had a glimpse of something great. Like, oh, I have this glimpse, and we stir with it. And maybe we want to talk about it a little bit, and we get all excited. And then, you know, whatever. The day goes on, and we forget about it, and we're like, yeah, you know, that might not happen. It's a very different thing to commit to it. It's a very different thing to write it down. It's a very different thing to map it out.
Well, how many thoughts do we have during the day?
Yeah, I don't know.
How many? I've heard all kinds of different numbers. I've heard
50,000.
There's a whole lot of thoughts during the day.
No, but I'm talking about a glimpse.
Well, so there are thoughts and glimpses, but then when you have a glimpse or a thought and you concretize it by writing it down so it doesn't just pass through the brain box like a cloud on an empty blue field.
No, that's right.
But that you lasso it and you haul it down, you ground it.
You hold the glimpse.
You hold the glimpse. You ritualize it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways of ritualizing things too, but I loved what he said about making this, grounding it in this, it is writing down the intentions, writing down the goals. You now have a roadmap. It opens the heart to create miracles outside of logic and reason. You grow into something.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love the idea of claiming it. I love the idea of a contract, a sacred contract that I'm committing to. This is my life. This is what it's about. And I'm willing. I'm willing to go all in. It's
And his was about, he said, he was committed to living out his dreams.
That's it.
And to being a part of nature. And to being in that flowing dance, he really spoke so beautifully about his kind of spiritual unfolding. I love that he uses Deepak's book as a kind of I Ching.
I love that.
So there was just such a wonderful model for how things come together in a life that... It's not a usual life. Sometimes these kinds of models, they're easier to see in a life that is as unique, as original as that life.
It's interesting, too, what he was saying about the everyday life situations.
Being more challenging.
And that, you know, the clarity of what he was doing when he was in the water. That clarity, that intention, that focus. It's really great. The challenge, of course, is to take that same clarity and begin to surf and ride the energetic waves of what we might call everyday life. To begin to, you know, be able to navigate uncertainty and discomfort. With again that same sense of purpose, not same in the sense that it's exactly the same. It's a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning. What do I want my life to be about? You know, because so many of us, and I'm sorry that we beat this up on this show, but I got to say it more often, is that we have the present as a result of the past and as our paradigm versus, and this is often illustrated by people saying, you know, I'm trying to heal so I can move on in my life. And what we've sort of said is, no, flip that around. I'm moving on with my life so that I can heal. I've got this sense of where I'm going.
I mean, as surfers look down the line.
Yeah.
They are in the moment, but they are looking ahead.
Yeah.
They are not looking over their shoulder. They are fully present in the body, in the element, but they are looking ahead so that they have a sense of vision of where they are going.
And let me just offer, because in the way that we work, you know, the past, it isn't to say we forget about it. We may hear from parts of our past. We may hear from aspects of our experience that pop up in the present moment that reoccur. But in the context of where we're going, again, the cleaning up of it, the imperative is to clean it up because we have somewhere to go. So it changes the focus.
Well, if you don't have somewhere to go,
well, then you're just
you will loop around and repeat the past.
And if your focus is always backwards and you're trying to sort something out that's already gone, it doesn't help you moving forward. It doesn't move you out of it. It just keeps, you know, stuck, especially when they're tough situations that make life scary. So I'm invested, you know, if I'm looking back all the time, I'm so invested in how scary and hard it's been. That's not really helpful. Where we're going and this sense of vision and purpose will sustain us when things do get hard and difficult and challenging. That will sustain us, you know. That's the magic pill.
Then,
that's the secret sauce.
Then comes the possibility that what might be even more scary to us is not the difficult stuff that we're cleaning up, but the unknown, uncertain stuff. That we the juicy good stuff. Do we have the heart? Do we have the capacity? Do we have the body? Do we have the nervous system to hold all that good stuff?
That's right.
That's a different set of challenges and a beautiful set of challenges. And with that, we are time challenged. I see. So
we're often time challenged.
We're not that time challenged. I'm seeing lots of finger waving, and I can't tell whether I thought you were just saying peace. I thought that was peace sign.
That was Richard Nixon.
We do have a little more time left then.
Then let me track back to this thought, because it's important to, I think, help with this idea that the context of cleaning up what we have to clean up in service to where we're going is a very empowered way to handle whatever comes our way.
And then you add on, I clean up where I've been in the context of where I'm going, and I have a sense of vision and possibility, and energy follows attention. I am directing my focus towards what is possible, what can be. And in the same way that Garrett McNamara is tuned to a future, he is aware of what from the past is coming in to create a little the occasional bump in the road between here and the future, but aware of that so that he can glide over it, focused on what will be, what will be.
And I don't want to lose the service element, too, that our lives are in service to something bigger, that we have a sense that each of us has a purpose, a unique purpose, a sense that there's something we have to give. And, you know, I love the fact that he was in the shop and he was like, this isn't it. This isn't why I'm here. There's something else. And he found it. And then the giving back with the autistic kids and a whole orientation, a frame of reference that allows him to be more giving in the world. That's beautiful. Because that is the gift of having a talent and having a skill set and a certain number of experiences that offers someone a picture of maybe what it is, the avenue from which they can come and be a contributor to all that is good and true and possible.
And with that, we are well and truly cooked this time out. So we thank all our listeners, as we are always grateful. That you are that to have an audience, and
we're really thankful they share it because so many of our audience members post and share our shows,
post our podcasts, and
that's
share
just
our shows.
Beautiful.
And,
so thank you for
and
that.
join us on our Facebook page. And for those of you that haven't joined us, you're welcome to join us. We hope that you will like us on our Facebook page and follow our podcasts on YouTube and iTunes and elsewhere, wherever you may find them. Until next week, have a great week.